The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 6, Scene 3. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
Susie Hobbinstock from BroadwayWorld.com.
Julinda Lewis from RVA Art Review.
And in this very unique Curtain Call, of course, we've been doing it Zoom like everybody else, but Julinda and Susie are both from their cars. So you can't see that, but I can. It's kind of fun today. We're going to be talking about the second show at Firehouse that's opened. They ran The Picture of Dorian Gray a few months ago, and now they've opened Anne, which is a one-woman portrait of famed Texas Governor Ann Richards. And it showcases her passions for politics and equality, as well as her steely personality and her sense of humor. Now, I know Susie and I saw it streaming, and Julinda, you saw it live, correct?
I was actually seated in the theater.
So this will be kind of an interesting, we can compare the two productions and or the two experiences. Julinda, why don't you talk first since you were there live. What did you think of the show?
I thought the show was fabulous. You know, it's billed as Jacqueline Jones is Anne. Jacqueline Jones is Anne Richards. She captured that personality, and sitting there in the theater, I think it was six of us in the theater, we were having a private audience in the governor's office. It was very intimate. It was very personal. And it was an all-encompassing experience. I absolutely loved it.
Were you all able to make enough noise to give her some laughter now and then?
I think we all, you know, applauded twice as hard. I might have burst a blood vessel in my hand.
I know she talked on Curtain Call last episode about the challenge of working with almost nobody in the audience and having to get used to not having the laughs that she expected. Susie, what did you think of the show?
I thought the show was enjoyable. I thought Jacqueline Jones did a wonderful job. I was thinking all the way through about Holland Taylor, who wrote it and performed in it originally. It was interesting and lovely. It was very, very different from Dorian Gray because it was one actor playing one character. Whereas in The Picture of Dorian Gray, Billy Christopher Maupin, who directed this show, in Dorian Gray, he played many characters. So it was quite different from that point of view. Watching on the live stream was, you know, sad. I've watched lots of theater now on streaming and various kinds of recordings. And it is a pale, pale copy of what really being in the theater is like. And I miss it. And I miss being there. And
as you mentioned, that it's a faint echo, as Joel Basson mentioned in the curtain speech at the beginning, that he considers streaming a faint, long-distance transmitted echo of the live performance. And I can feel you on that, although I will have to say one good thing that the director did was he kept it very simple so that you didn't have a lot of camera angles changing, you didn't have a lot of movement around the stage. She pretty much stayed in the different areas at the podium when she was giving the speech or at the desk when she was being the governor or over in a chair. It kept it very simple, so it was very easy to watch it as a streaming performance because it was just about Jackie's performance. And for me, she's a very talented actor anyway. She has wonderful comic timing, and I thought she created a very memorable performance. I thought she had pluck and charm and was very captivating, and of course, the show was highly entertaining.
To speak to that, Jerry, sitting there in person, you didn't get the feeling that any compromise had been made for the streaming. I didn't feel as if anything had been taken out or that anything had been compressed so that it would look better on the stream. It was just a normal stage set that was fully fleshed out. You know, with one performer, you didn't need to have a whole lot going on. So it was a perfect choice and a perfect setting.
Let me just mention that Todd LaBelle, who's on the staff at Firehouse, he created the set. It was basically simple. There was a podium, a desk, and a chair, and two flags, a red carpet, and then they had very simple pulls of light just to focus the action. So that worked very well, too, I think, from that point of view. Anybody want to talk about the relevance of the show or the relevance of Ann Richards as we're getting ready to go into an election?
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, there was plenty. I was thinking, I know that her daughter, Cecile, was head of Planned Parenthood for a long time. Ann Richards in the play often speaks with Bill Clinton, and it was interesting, the easy relationship, the joking relationship that they had. And, you know, I don't even want to go into all the contrasts and comparisons with today.
But I was getting more at the ideas of the fact that she believed in equality for everyone, that everybody should vote. She was a big advocate for vote and equal representation. And of course, that's something we're hearing a lot nowadays about asking everybody to get out and vote to make their voices heard. So I thought that made it a little bit relevant as well.
That was made very clear in the performance without being pedantic or drumming it into you. So it wasn't something that was done as if now we're going to teach you a lesson.
So overall, I think we enjoyed it. Susie, you seem like you enjoyed it a little less than Jolinda and I.
It has made me ponder more. I've been pondering all the time, but ponder more about the difference between being in an auditorium with other people, feeling that energy. The same thing as the actor misses the energy. Well, the audience members miss the energy as well. I think a lot of my love of theater is part of having the full experience, and less than the full experience is sad and unsatisfying to me. So I'm not sure when I'm going to get back, but I think about it quite a bit.
But what did you think of the show overall?
The show overall was delightful, funny, well realized, and enjoyable.
I just wanted to add one more little thought. That blue power suit that Jackie Jones wore, it was perfect. The suit, the pearls, the wig was, it was Ann Richards style, perfectly.
Right, right, right.
But it just made her look, I mean, right, she was right, the governor, right. But all I kept thinking was, it was so presidential.
Well, we have been talking about Ann, which is playing at Firehouse Theater, live and streaming through, at this point, through October 25th, unless they decide to move it on again. Now, I wanted to pivot over for a minute, and let's talk a little bit about the Artsies. The Artsies took place on September 13th. It was an all-streaming production, like everything else these days. It was a little over an hour, and we had a great time with it. So, Jolinda, tell us a little bit about the Artsies from your point of view this year.
The production quality being on live stream was phenomenal. I mean, it was better than we could have possibly expected. The theme was great. I mean, you know, that whole thing about, okay, 13 years, 13 being an unlucky number. The stories that were told were delightful. Some people were so creative in the way they presented their stories. They made us smile. They made us laugh. So we were able to actually enjoy it. And the length of the show was perfect, because nobody wants to sit there watching the screen for 2 or 3 hours. So that was great.
Right, right. Well, and you know that one of the big differences, the show was just barely over an hour, because anybody that's been to the live show, they knows every time you read a name of a nominee, the audience goes, hey! And so it takes, you right. know, 3 minutes to get through one set of nominees. And obviously this was streaming, and so we didn't have that. And just to clarify, the Lucky 13 stories, we invited members of the community to come up with their own stories of the worst thing that happened to them on stage. And we had probably about 20 of them, plus all the presenters, Jolinda, you, me, and Susie. We were all presenters, the TAP members, and all the critics did the presenting, all Zoom, of course.
Some of the acceptance speeches also were super creative and a lot of fun. I'd love to see some of the ones that were submitted that didn't win, because I bet there were other creative ones there. Really, we had so much fun putting this show together. I did have a great time working with producer Amy White and director Melissa Johnston Price. Jerry, I thought you did an incredible job as the editor of this show, and we worked very hard to keep it at an hour and did it and got all the pieces together. I'm very proud of what we put out there.
I also want to give a shout out to Brian Harris and his band. They normally perform at the show live, and this year they did it via Zoom, and they were great. They really added a lot of life and spice to the show. Everybody I've heard that watched it said, wow, that was really so much fun. I really had a good time. And of course, we did raise some money for the Artist Fund, as we usually do every year. It was a little different because we had people making contributions online. And the good part is, thanks to the Carpenter Foundation, who funds us every year, any money that we did not spend on the production itself, and we didn't spend anywhere near as much as we would for a live show, we can give directly to the Artist Fund. So that's a nice contribution that we're all able to make to the show.
And I want to thank, too, Dave Timberline, who was working on the production throughout and who wrote the script. We did ask for a simpler script. I think it was simpler and still funny and amusing and delightful. And, you know, it was really meant to be our Valentine to the theater community. We love everybody very, very much. We miss the artistry very, very much. And we just wanted to say that we still support you, miss you, love you. Want to see you as soon as we can.
Oh, no, don't get started. You know, a couple of us in that final farewell couldn't get through it without getting a little of a clamp. So don't get me started again here. Yeah, we want to thank everybody. We had a great team. Everybody worked very hard. And just wanted to let everybody know it is still available to watch. It is on artsies.org, and it will still be up for a while. So if you missed it, it's a quick, fun hour, and we encourage you to check it out. That'll do it for this week's Curtain Call. We've got two shows coming up, one where we're going to feature Cat Theater and the situation with them after they lost their home, and another one where we're going to talk to Swift Creek Mill about the flood and how they're recovering from that. This week, that's all. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
Susie Hobbinstock from BroadwayWorld.com.
And Jolinda Lewis from RVA Art Review.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website at artsies.org.